Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Oh, man, it was so good to be out at the stadium yesterday. Real good, Vance, real good.
Mike, and I really don't care.
Yes, you would have. Did our pregame show at the Ironworks. We'll be there for all the home games this year. And just missed it, you know, the energy and being around the stadium and the crowds, tailgates, the smells.
Smell yourself.
It was awesome. Crowd was into it. Great crowd. Hot day. 3,900 no-shows. Does that surprise you a little bit? Does that maybe speak a little bit to the distrust that has built up maybe over the last few years that not everybody is gung-ho about it yet? And even on the home opener, football's back in the stadium for the first time in a couple years. And we still had over 4,000, almost 4,000 no-shows, which is usually unheard of at Bronco games.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's, you know, extenuating circumstances. Like you said, there's been some, you know, are you kind of waiting to see? Do you think this is real? I think there's also the COVID issue with some people. I mean, that would hold some people from going.
Give the tickets away then. Don't just not go. Give the tickets away.
You can give the tickets away and people decide all of a sudden at last minute that, yeah, I'm just not sure about being in a crowd. I understand that.
And give the tickets to somebody who wants to go to the game.
Gotta
check with them before. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you these tickets. Do you want to go? Not, I'm going to give you these tickets. Do with them whatever you will.
Maybe you sell them to somebody and they don't go.
Oh, jeez. All right.
I don't know. What did you say? 3,900 people at, like, at a 70,000, 70 whatever thousand?
I mean, you know how it used to be. I mean, if you had 500, people would get booed. You know, people would boo the 500 that weren't there.
Well, I think a little different time. I think you're reading a little too much into it.
All right.
All
right.
Was it a sellout?
It counts as a sellout, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to read that much into it.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to read into.
All right.
Can't believe I'm going to say this about a Pat Shurmur-led offense.
Okay.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Is Pat Shurmur's offense... I can't believe I'm going to say this. Is it too conservative? Yesterday, they threw the ball 25 times. They ran it 37 times. And it's not like they were running it at some obscene clip that you were like, of course, keep running it. You're just gobbling up chunks of yardage. They averaged 3.3 yards per carry.
Love it.
And yet they ran the ball 37 times and threw it 25 times. For anybody who's saying, hey, I'd like to see the offense be a little bit more explosive. Again, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think Shurmur's going to let Teddy open it up a little bit more.
Because wins and 26 points isn't enough. Right? We want more.
I'm projecting what it's going to take to beat the top teams.
All right.
Not to beat the Jets, but to beat the top teams. Might Bridgewater be asked and trusted to do more?
Okay, so let me ask you this.
And I realize who I'm talking to.
Right.
Mr. I'd run it 100 times if I could.
I would. There's
nothing tougher than moving a man from point A to point B against his will.
I would be the most boring coordinator in the history of football. But you know what you open up? You open up easy play action. There's a reason that Teddy Bridgewater is completing, 76% of his passes? There's a reason. Because you are taking care of that. There's a reason you're not turning the ball over. There's a reason that, like, this is a formula that Vic Fangio came out, you know, before the season started. This is the formula that they're going to win with. And there will be a game where you got to throw it more, right? There's going to be one of those games that that's going to happen. But when you're down Jerry Jeudy, you're down T.J. Hamler, you have a Courtland Sutton coming off an ACL. Noah Fant's been banged up all preseason in all the first 3 weeks of the season. You lost Graham Glasgow.
Albert O coming back from ACL.
Albert O coming back. Glasgow has been in and out. He had the heart issues. I think he left the game yesterday as well with an injury. Dalton Risner left the game with an injury. Like, that right there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I put 8 checks on here. There are 8 issues that you're dealing with on the offensive side of the football. I think a little conservatism. Mm-hmm. That. I think that is an okay thing.
Just like Gronky Park.
Yes. Him and Gronky Park. That sounded just like the Winds of Change.
Just like the Scorpions.
I did sound just like the Scorpions. Well, I am. You know, I have German.
No.
I have German in German descent. My grandparents were both from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Wind blew down from a down. So I do have some scorpion.
You do have some
qualities.
Scorpion blood in you.
Yeah. You heard it. You've heard it.
And I'm getting some of this on the text line. I get it. Hey, there was no need to open it up offensively. The defense had this game in control. Why do anything silly to give the Jets any unnecessary momentum? I get all that. But I'm just curious. I don't know if what they're doing offensively, I've seen enough to be convinced that they can go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, the Chargers. Down the road, maybe in the playoffs, the Bills, you know,
right.
Teams like that.
Well,
that'd be a good problem to have, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, again, part of the equation, Mike, is can we possess the ball? Can we play keep away? I mean, that's going to be a formula against, you know, you've got to possess the ball and play keep away. But at the same time, while you're doing that, you got to score touchdowns when you're playing the Chiefs. I mean, that's part of the deal, right? So, but the formula's there. This is the formula for a victory for us, leaning on our defense. And I tell you, the other thing is about keeping your defense fresh. When you possess the ball, I gotta imagine the Broncos are tops in the league when it comes to ball possession. They gotta be right there at the very top of the league. Averaging, you know, how many minutes per game they average.
Yesterday it was about 36 to 24, by the way.
Yeah. So if you're in that realm every week, man, you know how much pressure you take off your defense, how much pressure you keep your defense over that period of time? I mean, it's amazing.
Coming up, this is something that I think we're all trying to figure out. We have different opinions. We're probably in one camp or the other. But what does this 3-0 start truly mean? Explore that coming up next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3, The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, it's a Bronco Reaction Monday. Normally, everybody's in a good mood when the Broncos win, but this 3-0 start has been interesting in that even though we've known the schedule since May, even though we all agreed when the schedule came out that, boy, there's a great opportunity here to get off to a fast start and set yourself up to at least be in the hunt, and all they've done is do exactly that and do so in dominating fashion, outscoring their opponents 76-26. And yet there's still a healthy amount of yup-buttism, I call it yabuttism.
Yabuttism?
Yabuttism out there. And so it kind of feels like the season really starts for real this week against Baltimore. Season opener, 2.0 with the Ravens coming to town. Let's get some reaction. 3-0 means that so far this team has done everything they were supposed to do. But looking at the rest of the schedule, they definitely will have a rough road. The Steelers are probably the only bad team left for the next 14 games. Brian and Longmont. I don't know. All of a sudden, I look at the schedule a little bit differently. Baltimore barely got past Detroit yesterday. They'll be going back out on the road for the second straight week. Vegas, the Sharps, they've already got the Broncos as a 1-point favorite. Now, yeah, you get 3 points for being at home, but still, basically what Vegas is saying, this is virtually a pick'em game. Okay, not daunting. Pittsburgh, what happened to the Pittsburgh team that actually went into Buffalo week 1-1? Ben Roethlisberger, what's the line you always like to use? Ben Roethlisberger retired and didn't tell anybody.
He does look old now. He looks incredibly old.
Then you got Vegas here, and hey, Vegas is credit to them. What they're doing is legit right now. Then you go to Cleveland on a Thursday night. That's a tough one. That's just tough. But then you get Washington here. Washington was supposed to be this stingy defense, one of the best defenses in the NFL. They've been getting chewed up.
Yeah, they have. They've gotten beat up. There's no question. And they gave up 40-something to Buffalo yesterday.
That's right. You go to Dallas, and then you're home here against Philadelphia. Point being, Mark, is that your next, seven games up until your bye, you got four of them at home. And, you know, the road games are at Pittsburgh, at Dallas. Cleveland's going to be a tough one. But, hey, look, if you can be after 10 games, if this team can be 7-3,
yeah,
you think winning four out of the next seven is a legitimate standard to set?
Sure.
Or 4-3 in their next seven. You think that's legit?
Yeah, even when we were winning championships, even when we had that run in the 90s, we always said before the season, hey, you win all your home games, you split your road games, and at that time you're 12-4, right? That's the math. 8-0 at home, 4-4 on the road equals 12-4. And you look at what they have. It's seven games. They've got four home games. You win your home games, and even if you win one or two of your road games, Mike, right? I mean, you'd be what, 8-2? Wait a minute, 3 plus 4, 5. Yeah, 8-2.
If you win five of your next seven?
Right.
Yes, you'll be 8-2.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You just were looking at me like I was doing the math wrong, I had to go back and...
No, the math is right. I think that's a little bit... You think five of the next seven's legit? Sign me up for four of the next seven.
Right, no, I'm good with four of the next seven, too. I'm just saying the whole theory is if we win all our home games...
Oh, right.
And we split our road games...
Right.
Then we're in good shape.
Well, there's three road games. You can't split three road games.
I realize that. That's why I said just you win one of two of those road
games. Okay, fine.
That's why I went that direction.
Okay. That's a good direction.
All right. But even if you won three or four of your home games and you won one of two, right, then you're sitting at, 7-3, right?
Well, again, there's three road games, so one of three.
Right, one of three.
Yeah.
You were 1-2.
You didn't say one. No, you said one of two.
Yeah, I was trying to say one of
two. Who cares?
Okay. You won one of the three, but you're 1-2.
What are we talking about? I want to dedicate it.
Everybody made it. I'm not functioning at my highest. Everybody that high up.
Yeah, you're a little... You came out strong the first hour.
Yeah.
A little punchy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the way, before we go, okay, so we agree. 4-3 in the next seven is eminently doable.
It's doable.
And then you'd be 7-3 at your bye. Woof.
Could you imagine?
Sign me up.
Do you think you'd be leading the division at 7-3 when you hit the bye?
Ooh. Did you beat the Raiders as one of the games?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I think. See what the Chargers do along the way, but yeah.
Boy, didn't you expect the Chargers to charger? They didn't. The Chargers, that might be the biggest headline. The Chargers did not charger.
I actually liked the Chargers yesterday.
Did you?
I did. And I backed it up.
You picked them?
I did. Well, with the points.
Oh.
I guess that wasn't a...
No, caveat. There's a caveat.
I didn't pick them to win. You're right.
You're kind of, yeah, but you're like the, yeah, but
I'm
Bronco
like, you're
fan.
Right. Good point.
You're like James Merrill.
Good point. Good point. It when it came James to the Bolts, Merrill. I was a yeah, but Bolt supporter.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but Bolts.
I was, knock on wood. Yeah, but.
Yeah, but. All right. That's good.
So I, by the way, I got to know. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll get into it in about 20 minutes. How your conversation with Bill Belichick went.
Ooh.
On Friday.
Thanks, Mike. I'm really glad you asked
very
that.
Very curious. Did yeah. did you start? Was the opening icebreaker line? Did you go with it? Hey, Bill, is this room bugged?
Yes, yes.
You know, I want to know if you went with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. And what the response was.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. We'll find out about that coming up here in just a bit. More your reaction on a Bronco Reaction Monday. Ramoslav.com text line is open to you. 303-713-1043. Four down territories coming up next. We'll go around the league, go around the division, including the call of the longest field goal in NFL history. That's coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
And he's loose!
This is four down territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
You want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. First down.
Wilson, near side. It's picked. Justin Simmons, he's going to run this back inside the 30 as Wilson makes his first big mistake.
Just a dominating, stifling, suffocating performance by the Broncos defense. They could have played 8 quarters. They could have played 12 quarters of football last night. The Jets weren't scoring. Such is the way that the Broncos defense was shutting them down. But the theme of today's show, are you in the I'm a believer camp or the butt camp? Just some proof that the buttism is out there. The idea that we advanced in the last segment that the Broncos could easily have 4-3 as a realistic goal standard for their next 7 before the bye and be 7-3. Dollars to donuts, says this texter. You're closer to 3-7 at the bye. The offense has gotten less productive each of the first 3 weeks and lost 2 contributing receivers. These are facts, not hate. I'm going to record this and play this back in 7 weeks. All right. Yeah, buttism.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that don't have, there are a lot of people that don't have faith. And you know what's interesting to me? I still feel as though there's still a lot of, man, if we would just got our rookie quarterback for 15 years. Now, you know, now in Chicago, it's not that Justin Fields isn't ready to play, right? Should have been starting from day one. Why you this hoax with Andy Dalton, blah, 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 blah. Now it's, well, Matt Nagy's not calling the right plays.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Nagy doesn't know the right plays to call. He doesn't know how to call any plays. He's not setting him up for success. Dude, that was an abomination of offense. And Justin Fields, you know, endorsed that check. He's the guy signing that check. And that was awful. And I haven't watched that whole game. I've seen the highlights, but I guarantee you go through there and you say, okay, of these 9 sacks, how many of them are unawareness sacks? Like that preseason sack in Buffalo where we saw him get Ichabod craned, you know, where he got his head taken off. I guarantee you there's some of those.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
66-yard attempt for Justin Tucker. This game hangs in the balance with the longest kick in the history of the National Football League on the line. Tucker's ready. There's the snap. Spot down. Kick on the way. It is up and it is off the crossbar. And through. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
Ravens radio. Oh, excuse me, Lions radio. Can you get the Ravens call, Benny? Can you find the Ravens call? I'd love to hear the Ravens call. Benny's a Lions fan.
Yeah, he is.
He just...
poor little guy.
And you know what? He's proud of it, too. It's like... you know how we always like to say Charger's gonna Charger?
Yeah.
I think it's now Lions gonna Lions.
Well, there's several teams that are gonna do what they do.
Right?
That's lose.
That's lose. Right. And lose in
they're gonna find
the most extraordinary ways.
Right. They're gonna find ways. Just like... it's just what they do.
But let's bring this back to our backyard. The okay. Ravens winning... but having to get a 66-yard field goal to beat the Lions. Now turn around, go back out on the road again next week to come out here. Their running game is a mess. They don't have a running game other than Lamar Jackson. They do not have a running game. Are the Ravens as daunting?
No.
Right now as when you first saw the schedule?
Absolutely not. I mean, they have the injuries, as you mentioned, in their backfield. They've had the injuries. They still haven't figured out their wide receiving core. I think Hollywood Brown dropped a sure touchdown yesterday. And defensively, Mike, they've lost players. They're not the same. Judon is now playing in New England. You know, C.J. Mosley, we watched him playing for the Jets. They don't have the same level of defensive ferociousness that they had in past. And, you know, they lost a cornerback, and Marcus Peters, who's a playmaker of the cornerback position. They're not the same defense by any stretch of the imagination. So, no, they're not. It kind of, when the schedule came out, they're just not the same team.
The Broncos should beat them. Yes. The Ravens are not some boogeyman to me. I think the Broncos should beat them. Be here, playing the Ravens here.
I'm with you.
I think it would be a huge disappointment to lose to the Ravens. It would not be a good loss to lose to the Ravens. They should beat the Ravens.
We got a Jackson 5!
You could see, you know what you could see? You could see Lamar making enough just crazy off-schedule plays, and you lose a game off the off-schedule nature of what he can do, because that dude is a freak show. But I am with you 100%. The Broncos, right now, as currently constructed, are a better, more complete football team.
Next in four-down territory.
Third down.
Herbert to throw toward the end zone. Mike Williams caught. Touchdown, Chargers! Fist pump from Keenan Allen. 4 yards. Herbert to Mike Williams for the second time today, and the Bolts go up 6.
Give it to me, Benny. Give it to me.
Knock on wood.
Thank you. All right. Credit to the Chargers. But that's not the story.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with the Chiefs? And I mean that. Seriously. What is wrong with the Chiefs? Not only are they giving up 95 points through 3 games, tied with the aforementioned woebegone Lions for being the worst defense in the NFL, but Patrick Mahomes has been kind of ordinary. Couple interceptions yesterday?
Yeah, right. He threw his first interception of September last week. And what do you have this week? What did my homie? 2 interceptions? Yeah, 2 picks, 3 touchdowns. Only completed 61.4% of his passes. Hey, guys, Mahomes is no good. What happened to Mahomes? He's no longer good. Just like Aaron Rodgers is no longer any good.
Clock striking midnight.
Yeah.
15 minutes are over.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't get, by the way, to the Packers game, but anybody who's saying, Aaron Rodgers is too old. He's not worth the asking price.
Mm-hmm.
Just go back and watch some of those throws last night.
Go back and watch the last 37 seconds.
Holy smokes.
Those
and by the way, to your point, as you have said all along, his beef is not with his teammates or coaches. You saw his reaction. He is completely invested with the team.
Sure. 100%. Yeah.
Fact,
he loves.
There was actually part of me that was like, I wish you weren't so happy about that win.
Right.
Wish you weren't so joyful.
You didn't see him. So celebrating with Gutenkunst or whatever his
name
is, right?
Yeah. Didn't see him hugging Gutenkunst.
Yeah.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
I don't apologize for winning these games, no matter how we won them. When you're down 14 to nothing and score 25 unanswered in the NFL against a team like that, something's going right. There were some catastrophic plays today, and you can write them and list them, and we're lucky to overcome those.
You know what? Credit where credit's due. When the Dolphins jumped out to a 14-2 lead over the Raiders, I thought, okay. Reality's going to come crashing down here.
Right.
Instead, the Raiders shook it off, roared back, won in overtime. Derek Carr, 386 yards passing, two more touchdowns. Is Derek Carr the leading MVP candidate right now in the NFL?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Him or Matt Stafford?
Matt Stafford, you know, the guy who can't play quarterback.
Yeah, people are going to have to owe you an apology if this continues.
Well, you know, it's I probably have to put some place on a Stafford place on my island. Been telling you guys for 11 years he's the lead quarterback.
Well, not 11 years, but definitely the last year.
Oh, I've liked
definitely last year.
Well, I've liked Stafford for, I mean, going all the way back to my ESPN days. So,
what kind of Stafford feature can we have on Told You So Island?
What would the Stafford feature?
There needs to be a Stafford feature on I Told You So Island. We'll take your suggestions on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Okay, that'll do it for Four Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL, bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, joins us to give us his observations and continue to get your reaction. Are you in the Yabut camp or the I Believe camp? As we get set for Broncos season opener 2.0 with the Ravens coming to town next Sunday. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Let's say good morning to Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. He's presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. Good morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Troy, doing great, man. Always great off there after a Broncos win. Offensively, you know, the commitment to the run, all this red zone issues. What's your takeaway? I'm sure you ask guys and players about the red zone issues. What's the answer there? What are we facing right now?
Well, the one is a fumble, but yeah, they just, to me, part of it is they're just not diversified enough right now in the passing game down there. When Hamler goes out, you're going to have to start involving the tight ends more down there. Noah Fant and Albert Okwuegbunam, especially now with Judy out at least probably another month, and Hamler, he's going to miss some time, and we just don't know how much. But that's part of it, is you got to diversify. You know, they protected the ball, Mark, and sometimes when you protect the ball, it makes you a little more conservative. But, yeah, against good teams, field goals lose games for the most part. At home, maybe you can escape. But it's just, for me, diversify. They've stayed patient with the run, but it's been, you know, mud flaps required, tough sledding. And that's part of the issue, too, is that they just, you know, they're having trouble getting more than 2.5-3 yards a carry. And at some point, that needs to be 5, so your playbook opens up down there a little more.
Are you in the I'm a believer? Are you in a I'm a believer camp or the butt camp when it comes to this 3-0 start?
I mean, I'm a believer for reasons of history. When you look at the Broncos' history, they've started 3-0 now 11 times. The previous 10 times, they never had a losing record. And they finished 8-8 a couple times. Of those previous 3-0 starts 10 times, they went to the playoffs 6 times. Yes, I trust history. Part of that's my baseball background of covering baseball, where history does matter. There are always anomalies. But that's a good sign for the Broncos. And they've won all 3 of these games by double digits. Nobody else can say that. Nobody could say they won their first 2 games by double digits. As they say, it's TCB, taking care of business. The schedule, they need not apologize for, guys. They stunk last year. They finished in last place. So you know what you get? A last place schedule. I mean, they act like they won. They were the Super Bowl runner-up, and they got this schedule. Then you'd be like, man, are they for real? So, yeah, there's some cotton candy to this. There's some empty calories. But the reality is they won 2 games on the road, which they struggled to do the last 5 years. And at home, they won 2 games last year. They didn't win a home game till November 1st. So it's okay to believe. I mean, if you have an issue as a Broncos fan at 3-0, guys, you're missing the point. Enjoy this. Did we not just experience like the four worst years since 1963 to 72? So, yeah, it's okay to believe a little bit. And the schedule now presents, you're going to find out how good they are. These next four games, you're going to find out if they're, are they a real legit team or are they just a team that had a soft schedule. But it's okay to enjoy the 3-0.
I want to take you back to what you said just a second ago about the running game and the fact that they are consistent. They are getting their attempts, but the yards per carry have got to increase to create dynamic plays in the red zone. What has been the issue with their 2.5, 3.5 yards a carry?
Well, I mean, you watch the film more than I do, Mark. I mean, watching it live the last 3 weeks, teams have sold out to stop the run. Now, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying they've done run blitzes. Giants and Jets, for me, their fronts are pretty good. And Quinton Williams was an absolute animal yesterday. Just he's a disruptive player. So they've had trouble countering that when other teams have said, we want to see if Teddy Bridgewater can beat us, and we're going to sell out to stop the run. Well, Bridgewater's beaten them. I mean, Bridgewater's off to the best start of a Broncos quarterback since Peyton Manning. So, you know, they haven't needed to just stay with the run to win. That's part of it. But it's going to be challenging. If Glasgow and Reisner can't go, and we don't know that, and it texted with Dalton last night. I mean, they're all three are expected to get MRIs this morning and figure out what's going on. But if they have Quinn Meinerz playing at left guard and Tony Mute at right guard, that's a tall task when we talk about improving the running game. I mean, that's a lot to ask of two really young players and one who missed last season and because of the COVID, Division III UW Whitewater didn't play. So that's a tough ask. But part of it, Mark, is, and you see the tape, is teams are saying, we're going to sell out to stop the run. And so that's what's allowed them to struggle, force them to struggle even more.
Assuming that K.J. Hamler, you would think, is going to be out a minimum of a few weeks at least, and then that would be on the real positive side, how do you see them addressing what's going on with their wide receiving core? Is it just get next man up? Hey, Deontay Spencer, here's your chance. Or do you think they go outside and look for help?
Well, they have Seth Williams on the practice squad. They have Tyree Cleveland on the practice squad. Deontay Spencer is a similar type player size-wise in some ways skill set of Hamler. He's not as dynamic, but he fits the profile. The problem is he's never been an issue. He's never been a factor in the pass game. They see him almost exclusively as a returner. I liked what he did blocking yesterday. He's a willing blocker, but that's not going to cut it as a slot guy. What I would do, looking at their personnel, because I don't think they go external, at least not initially. Again, a lot of it depends on how long Hamler's going to be out. What I would do is go more double tight end and use Albert Okwuegbunam almost like a flex guy as more of just a straight receiver to create mismatches. Don't try to create a slot guy that maybe doesn't exist. And Albert O can be a serious mismatch. So they're going to have to figure that out. And it's unfortunate because, again, they're losing 2 to 3 starters a week. The elasticity in that rubber band is really at the breaking point when it comes to their depth. They can't keep losing 2 to 3 a week. They're not that team. But what I would do, Mike, to answer your question, Deontay Spencer likely this week for sure will get that chance, but I would look to get Albert O more involved in the passing game to create a different dynamic that way.
All right, Troy, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great day.
All right, guys, take care. See you.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. What about Meinerz and Mute if these two are indeed called upon to step in and start next week?
I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Really?
No.
Why?
I think both of them are big physical cats. With a week of practice, I think they're going to be all right.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, I think when you look at the inside three players, that's where a lot of teams are attacking this football team, especially in the running game, with Dalton Reisner, with Glasgow, with Cushenberry. Yep. So I think that's, I mean, some big, strong cats in there. Listen, technique-wise and some of the you're going to have some mistakes from an understanding standpoint. You're going to have some mistakes from just a recognition standpoint because you're young. But what you lose in that, man, you make up for someone in aggressiveness. And I think those guys, big, strong dudes. I saw Meinerz last night climb to the second level and absolutely destroy a linebacker. I thought I was excited about that. So, you know, he's got that big belly. He'll put it on people. And I think he's a pretty skilled player, man. He played a lot. And here's the other thing about him. He played a ton of center in training camp. Really helps you from an understanding of where we're going, what the call should be. Like, it gets you in rhythm from a snap count standpoint. And rhythm, as I tell you all the time, rhythm is so important. And so it puts you in a rhythm. And that's what you have to be able to do.
Well, no offense to Glasgow, but come on. They've been preparing to replace him for the last couple of years with the drafting of Mutai and Miners. He was a stopgap, right? He was a band-aid approach at a time when the offensive line was really beleaguered, and they probably overpaid a little bit, but he brought stability. But clearly they've been looking to plan for the future at that position, so the future's here.
They probably overpaid a lot of it.
Okay. But when you're in desperate times, call for desperate measures, and that usually means overpaying for free agents.
Right.
That's okay. Yeah. But now you're at a point where you've built up some depth. You got some young players that you've developed. Okay.
Yeah.
Turn it over. So the bigger question to me is Risner. Because I know you've had a bit of a, I don't want to say love hate, but you're not exactly on the Dalton train.
Well, no, I just don't. I think that he needs to play better. That's all. I think he's a good player. He needs to play better.
What do you think of that taunting call?
Oh, that was that two guys jawing at each other.
League's emphasizing it.
But that was two guys having a discussion. That wasn't in your face. Like, that's in your face. Like, I'm whatever happened. You know, he blocked him. He probably said something to him. He turned around and said something back. We're going to take that out. We can't say anything now. If that were the case, wide receivers and corners we'd have to dump everybody. We'd have to play with like 11 O linemen.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I'm telling you, they're talking smack to each other constantly.
Right.
You can't go up and have a conversation. I mean, maybe there's a few choice words flowing there, but that seemed a little bit like, hey guys, nobody came here to watch you officiate the game.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, I have to clean this up a little bit because the texter used rather strong language. I'll just say, hey, for all you Justin Fields apologists, there we go. For all you Justin Fields apologists, 6 for 20 for 68 yards and 9 sacks. Even Paxton was never that bad.
Point of order. Is that truly smearing Paxton? Or that's saying that Paxton is better than Justin? And that's almost a compliment. But
well, no, it's Justin Fields was so bad. He wasn't even able to get the Paxton Lynch bad.
He's worse than Paxton.
He was worse than Paxton.
But Paxton was still really bad. We're not complimenting.
We're not obscuring the fact that Paxton was bad. Just that Fields was really bad.
Okay. All right. It counts.
Don't let ESPN see that text, by the way. Boy, you want to talk about a network that is so invested in Justin Fields that they will go to every length possible to not blame Fields. It's Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy's play calling.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy did a disservice to the kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like they're not holding him accountable at all. Listen, you give up 9 sacks and you go, what, 6 of 20 for 60 yards? Like everybody has blood on their hands. The play caller does, the O-line does, the running backs do, the wide receivers do, and the quarterback certainly does. Everybody.
Yes, but as an offensive lineman,
Because I know how you guys are. The Horton hears a who. And you're like, oh, man, nine sacks. Where everyone's going to blame nine sacks. How many of those sacks, from an offensive lineman's perspective, and you guys are truthful graders, how many would be on the O-line of those nine?
Yeah, if you go back, I mean, I haven't looked at them, but if you go back and look at all nine sacks, I bet you four of the nine are on the guys up front. You know, and then five of them are, there is, nobody can break free in coverage, like you're getting blanketed. And so there's a couple in that category. A couple of them are the quarterback doesn't understand who's hot and who's not and where guys are coming from. You don't change protections, you know, like things like that, but probably half of them are oral line fault and half of them are the rest of the team fault. Usually that's kind of the ratio.
In a lot of text saying that was not a suitable for us Paxton Smear. We're still at 2301, but we'll leave room open if you want to add to that. Okay. If you want to add to that. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.